last installment on this series that we're doing here called Hear and Be Healed. And next week we'll be starting the best of Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace. We'll be doing that for 5 weeks, and that'll take us all the way up to Vacation Bible School, which I'm really excited about. We've had eight families have already registered their kids online. We just opened online registration last week, and five of these families never had any contact with the church before. So these are five brand new families that I believe we're going to get into the church. Amen. I believe we're going to gain several families this year as a result of VBS. So praise the Lord. Let's believe together for that. Amen. Praise God. So we're in our series, Hear and Be Healed, and the message tonight is Hear and Follow God's Instructions for Healing. So let's look at the scripture that's our foundation. It's Luke 5:15. It says, "However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." They came to hear and to be healed, and that's not the only place in the New Testament that phraseology is used. It's also used in Luke 6 and other places as well where it says people came to hear and to be healed. So notice the connection between hearing and healing. Amen? Amen. And what got me started interested in doing this series is a statement that I heard Dad Hagen make, a series I was listening to a while back, a teaching series of his, and he said this. He said, "Some of the greatest healings I've ever had in my ministry, I didn't pray for them. I didn't lay hands on them. They just sat under the teaching of the Word." Yeah. Amen. Amen. And so he didn't even really, a lot of them, they came back to him months later or even some a couple of years later and said, "Brother Hagin, I just want you to know I was in that meeting that you did in Rochester, New York in September of 1970 and I had a terminal condition and the doctor said I had less than two years to live, and here it is 2 years later, and I'm completely healed now." There's one young man I've told you about, the 15-year-old boy, that the doctors had told him that, you know, "We don't know what's wrong with you, but you're dying, and we don't know what, you know, how to treat you." And he came to Dad Hagin's meeting, I think it was in Rochester, and sat under the teaching of the Word. And his dad asked him, you know, after several days of teaching, Brother Hagin had a healing line. He said, "Do you want to get in the healing line?" He said, "What do I need to do that for?" He said, "Didn't you hear the man?" He said, "I'm healed. I'm healed. Yeah. Just heard the Word, yes, and just believed it." Yeah. Amen. It. And sure enough, 2 years later, they go to his meeting in St. Louis to let Brother Hagin know about the miracle. You know, 2 years later, here he is, and the 17 years old now, and the picture of health, completely healed. Amen. And praise God. Amen. Amen. So, but receiving healing in this manner necessitates, and this is very important tonight, so don't miss this. In fact, it wasn't in when I started planning this teaching. I didn't even have this in here, and the Holy Spirit really led me to cover this. So if you don't get anything else tonight, get this. But I believe you'll get everything. Amen. But get this for sure. Receiving healing in this manner, in other words, receiving healing by hearing the Word of God and believing the Word, it necessitates having an understanding of the past tense of God's Word. What do I mean by that? Well, let me just give you a little background and then some scripture, and then we'll explain what that statement. So it's not wrong at all to receive healing by someone praying the prayer of faith for you or with you, the prayer of agreement. That's scriptural. That's right to do that, all right? It's not wrong to receive healing by the laying on of hands. You know, Dad Hagin said, "Some of the greatest healings I've ever had in my ministry," he said, "I didn't pray for them or I didn't lay hands on them." None of those things are wrong. Right. All right? And so it's not wrong to receive healing by the laying on of hands or by manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's all right. God uses all those things. Mm-hmm. But in each of those scenarios, at some point, the individual has to release their faith. In other words, if you're receiving healing through the laying on of hands, your point of contact, if the laying on of hands is going to work, you know, Dad Hagin said, you know, "I could lay hands on you till you I rubbed every hair off your head." Right. If there's no faith, if you're not believing, then it's not going to do any good. Right. And so at some point when hands are laid on you, that's when you say, "That's it. Yeah. It's done. Lord, I'm healed." Yeah. All right. You see the difference in saying that and saying, I believe I will be healed one day?
Right.
See, a lot of people are stuck there.
Right.
A lot of people get tripped up there, even yet today, thinking, well, I've prayed and I believe that God will do it one day. I don't know why he hasn't done it yet. I believe he'll do it one day. That's really not faith.
Right. Amen.
You've really not believed until you say, it's done. It's mine. I have it.
Amen.
Well, I'd be lying, Pastor, if I said I had it. I still have pain in my body. No, you wouldn't be lying. You'd be agreeing with God.
Yes.
You'd be agreeing with the Bible.
That's right.
Because 1 Peter 2:24 says, by whose stripes you... We looked at this last week. We won't take time to look at it again, but write it down if you're not familiar with it. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, by whose stripes you were healed. You were healed. And that's Peter is making that statement, the Apostle Peter. And what he's doing is he's looking back to the cross. He's looking back to what Jesus did. He's looking back to the stripes that Jesus bore.
That's right.
And the work that he did on the cross. And he's saying, look, this is a done deal. It's a done deal. By whose stripes you were healed.
You
were healed.
Amen.
Amen. And so at some point, we have to get to that place in our faith, whether it's with healing or whether it's anything that we're believing God for, we have to say, I believe it's done. I believe it's mine.
Yes.
Faith is now.
Yes.
The Bible says now in Hebrews 11, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So no, you wouldn't be lying. You'd be agreeing with God.
Right.
And you'd be operating in faith because faith is the evidence of things not seen.
Yep.
The Amplified Bible says faith is the title deed.
Amen.
Of the things that we don't see.
Yes.
Faith says you got the title deed. It belongs to you. Wouldn't this scenario be possible that this hypothetical situation? But it could happen. Probably has happened. Where someone maybe inherits a piece of property, maybe their relative passes away and they had some land somewhere, and in the will said this land, this piece of property, these 2 acres here in the swamp, these 2 acres, I am willing that to my nephew, and so the nephew gets a call from the executor or the attorney. And he says, hey, good news. You know, your uncle passed away and he left you 2 acres of property. And they said, we're going to mail you the title deed to the property. It's yours. It's paid for free and clear. It's yours. And so they mail him the title deed to the property. He owns it now, even though he's never seen it. Huh?
Right.
Is he going to get the land one day?
He already has it.
Should he be talking about that land in terms of, one day my uncle's going to give me 2 acres? No. My uncle passed away and he gave me 2 acres of property. I own it. He could actually turn around and sell it and never even see it.
And
if he wanted to, it's his, even though he's never physically seen it, he's got a piece of paper that they mailed to him that's a title deed that legally says that land is his now. And that's what Hebrews 11, 1, it says, faith is the title deed.
Amen.
Again, Mark, we're not, that's, see, I prayed. See, this is what happens when you pray. I prayed and I said, Holy Spirit, I've prepared along a certain line, but guide me to say the things I need to say.
Yes.
All right? So this is what happens when you pray.
Amen?
Amen. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. This is Hebrews 11, 1 in the Amplified Bible. What I just quoted you, or quoted close, it uses that term title deed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great picture. It's a great picture of how faith works. And so again, to receive healing by hearing the word, by just hearing the word and believing the word, it necessitates you coming to a place, me coming to a place where I say, okay, that's it.
Yeah.
By his stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed.
Yes, amen.
It's done.
Amen.
It's done.
Yeah.
I remember I did that. I've shared this before, but it really stands out to me. It was very... a formative time in my life when I went out to Tulsa to go to Rhema Bible Training Center to get trained for what God's called me to do, for what I've been doing the past 29 years almost. And when I first got out there, I didn't have a place to live. I tell my brother that he just dropped me off at the Sands Motel and headed back to Georgia. You know, I took him to the airport, and he said, "I'll see you at Christmas," you know. And I'm in this motel, this Fleabag motel in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. And but I did find a temporary place with a Rhema student. This is a guy that was starting his second year from Minneapolis. Scott Carlson was his name. And Scott said, "Well, you can stay here for a while." He said, "My sister, maybe if she doesn't come down, she's thinking about coming down to go to Rhema. If she doesn't come down, you can stay here, you know, the whole time, you know, and share the apartment." Well, sure enough, sister decided to come down, and so I've got to find another place to stay. And so I get news of that, and I go to a meeting. The Victory Christian Center is having their word explosion that week, and Pastor Billy Joe Doherty, Billy Joe and Sharon Doherty, some of you may have heard of them, and Victory, the great Victory Christian Center in Tulsa. And Billy Joe's going on to be with the Lord now, but they had Jerry Savelle was preaching. They had everybody, and Jerry happened to be preaching that morning or afternoon service. I don't know. They have like three services a day. So Brother Jerry was preaching, and then I don't even remember what he preached, but it was some faith building message of whatever you need from God. You know, he'll believe God, and he'll get it to you. He'll give it. And so I thought, I need a place to live. So I went up and I got in the prayer line, and I remember this. I remember him coming along, waiting for him to pray for him, and he came along and he prayed. And I remember when he prayed, I said, "That's it. It's done." I remember that. And I got back to the apartment where I was staying, where I was going to have to move out of in a few days. And I got a call from the managers of the apartment complex. And they wanted me to live in their apartment. They were going to be traveling. They wanted me to stay there. So I got to stay there 3 more weeks. And in the meantime, while that happened, I was able to get a permanent place. And so God took care of it. But my point is, I had to release my faith to receive that provision. I had to say, "It's done. It's mine."
Yes.
Amen? Amen. I didn't walk away saying, "Oh, well, maybe one day God's going to give me a place to live." You know, I prayed, so maybe one day it's going to happen. No, it's mine. It's done. That's what faith is.
Amen.
Amen? That's the past tense of God's word. So let's look at a scripture. That's good stuff, isn't it? Amen. Look at Acts 14, verse 8. In Acts 14, verse 8, it says, "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet..." Lystra is one of the cities where Paul and his team were preaching. "In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking..." And verse 6 or 7 says Paul was speaking the gospel. Okay? So he's preaching the gospel. "This man heard Paul speaking." He did what?
Heard.
He heard. Faith comes by
hearing.
They came to what? Hear and be healed. Amen. "This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed." So here's a man, never has walked. He hears the gospel for the first time. And boy, I wish they had recorded that. I'd love to have heard that message. The message that Paul preached was so positive and so wonderful. And so good and so inclusive that God will do it for anybody.
Amen.
Inclusive in that way.
Yeah.
That this man who was crippled and had never walked from hearing one message said, "You know what? I don't have to stay crippled anymore."
Right.
He heard the gospel.
Right.
So the gospel must include healing.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so he said, Paul says, or the scripture says that Paul saw or perceived that he had faith to be healed. And he said, Paul said with a loud voice, "Stand up straight on your feet." Well, Paul knew one thing. He knew he perceived this man had faith, but yet he knew that faith had to be released.
Right.
The man, and here's another thing that's important. Faith has to be released. We release our faith by words or by action.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. So this man, look, notice this now. Notice too. Paul sees that he has faith to be healed, but he's still sitting there crippled. And that's where a lot of Christians are stuck right there. It's not that they don't have faith to be healed. They do have faith to be healed. They just haven't discovered how or haven't for some reason haven't released their faith. Faith has to be released. Amen. And so this man, Paul knew, he said, "I've got to get this man to do something to release his faith. So he said something to startle him, where the guy couldn't wait and analyze it and think about it. He yelled at him. He got in his face. He said, "Stand up!" And the guy said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "Woo!" But I don't think he was surprised. I don't think the man that was healed was surprised. So here's what happened. So when Paul looks at him and says, "Stand up straight on your feet," at this point, the man has a decision to make. And it's a decision based on what he believes. He's not believing, he can't be believing this way, erroneously. He's not believing that the Lord will come along sometime and heal him. He's not sitting there. You know, he's not sitting there saying, well, you know, the faith that he has is not saying, well, you know, sometime, one day the Lord's going to heal me. I've heard this good message about healing, and I know it's the Lord's will for me to be healed. And when he gets ready to, he's going to do it. I'm just waiting on him. I just wish he'd hurry up, though. But I'm waiting. That's not what he was doing. And he wasn't waiting that some or and believing that somehow, you know, I'm waiting here, and when this power comes on me and when I feel healed, then I'll stand up. It wasn't that. It wasn't a feeling. While he's still lame, while he doesn't feel anything, he says, "You know what? By his stripes I was healed. If I was healed, then I am healed." And it's like Dad Hagen, when he was a teenage boy and he'd gotten saved, and then he said I was a Baptist boy reading Grandma's Methodist Bible, and began to stumble across the principles of faith. The Holy Spirit, he desperately wanted to be well, and he was praying for that, and the Holy Spirit started guiding him to the healing scriptures, promises of healing, and. And he finally saw it. He finally saw it in Mark 11:23. Yes, and he said, "Lord Jesus," he said, "with all sincerity," he said, "if you were to come to me and look me in the eye and say, 'Your problem is, son, is that you don't believe,' he said, 'Lord Jesus, with all sincerity, I'd have to say you're lying about it, because I do believe. I know I believe.'" And he said, when he said that, the Holy Spirit, it's hard to talk to the Lord like that.
Yeah.
You remember the video we showed that Sunday of the apostle, Robert De Niro, yelling at the Lord? But when he said that, he said the Holy Spirit spoke on the inside of him and said, "You do believe, all right, as far as you know." And then he led him. I don't know if it was the same day or a few days later, but he told him this. He said, he said, "You believe you're healed?" And he said, "I sure do." He said, "Well, get up then." He said, "It's 10 o'clock in the morning." He said, well, people ought to be up at 10 o'clock in the morning. He said, "You shouldn't be laying in bed. It's 10 o'clock. What are you doing laying in bed? Well, people ought to get up." He said, "All right, that's it." And he said, he's paralyzed. And his legs are laying in the bed. He said he took them and he threw his legs off the side of the bed. He said they hit the floor like chunks of wood. He said, "I didn't feel a thing." And he said, "I could kind of get up a little bit." And he said, "I pulled myself up by the bedpost, and I just started praising God." And he said, I believe that I receive healing. I believe that I receive healing for the deformed heart. I believe I receive healing for the incurable blood condition. I believe I receive healing for the paralysis. I believe I receive healing. He said, in case I missed anything, he said, "I believe I receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet." And he got up and he did everything he could to get up. And he said, once he did that, then he felt something. Then he felt, he said something hit him in the top of the head and started pouring all over him. And then he felt in his legs, he felt like pinpricks. He said it hurt, but then it felt wonderful because he had feeling in his legs again. And he pulled himself up and he stood up. Glory to God. And he raised his hands and he praised God. And he, from that day until he went home to be with the Lord at age 87, he was healed for 70 years. Amen? But he had to act on it. He had to act on the word. Amen? Praise God. And so it's a decision. That's what this man, while he's still lame, before he feels anything, he chooses to believe, "I was healed. And if I was healed, then I am healed. And I'm not waiting on God to do anything. He's already done it." And so he gets up. He said, I believe that. I act on it. And so he did. He acted. He got up. He leaped and walked.
Yeah.
He didn't just walk. He leaped.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
That's what the guy in Acts chapter 3 that was healed, the lame man that was
right.
healed at the gate. Beautiful. The Bible says he leaped and
yeah.
walked. Well, if you've been lame for a long time and suddenly you're healed, you're not just going to walk. You're going to leap too. Amen. Glory to God. All right. So that's all that. So that's part one. And that was worth coming for just right there. We could dismiss right there. And if you'll get this and act on it, then that'll change your life right there.
Amen.
In fact, I might do it myself. It's so good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. This is so good, I might act on it myself.
Yes.
I've heard my friend Randy Greer say that many times. This is so good, I might do it myself. Amen. Well, we all need to do it, right?
Yes.
Amen.
Right.
Praise God. So let's go now. This part two of this is the title of tonight is Hear and Follow God's Instructions for Healing. See, God not only gives us promises for healing, but He also gives us instructions on how to live so we can be healed and so we can walk in health.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now, there's natural things, and some of those we find in the Word of God. But then there's also spiritual things, things to do with our soul and with our spirit, that we're to follow those instructions as well, that if we'll do those, and if we neglect this part, and we just try to say, well, I'm not going to do any of that, I'm just going to believe I'm healed. Well, that probably won't work for you. Just like you can't continually violate natural laws and expect to be healed and walk in health. Right? Amen? See, it works together.
Yes, it does.
Amen? But these spiritual laws are part of it too. So let's look at the book of Proverbs. We're going to stay in Proverbs most of the rest of the time. Because the book of Proverbs is just full of instructions on how to live so that you can live long and live healthy.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. He says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. When we keep God's commands, go back to verse 1 for a second, Roy. He says, do not forget my law. Don't forget God's word. Let your heart keep His commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Now, just to give you a little preview of what we're going to get to at the end, when he says, let your heart keep my commands, remember, for us in the new covenant, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen? And Paul wrote this in Romans 13. He says, for all the commandments can be summed up in this, love your neighbor as yourself.
Right.
Love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling
yes.
of the law. All
right.
And so when you read commands, then translate that walking in love.
Yeah.
Amen. If I walk in love, I'm not going to steal from you.
Right.
If I walk in love, I'm not going to murder you.
Right.
Right. If I walk in love, I'm not going to bear false witness against you.
Right.
Amen. So love fulfills the law.
Amen.
If we walk in love.
Amen.
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 Let's go to Proverbs 3, starting verse 5. Proverbs 3:5, look at what this says. He says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
Amen.
Let's keep rolling there with the next verse. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He shall direct your paths. And on to the next verse. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be what?
Health.
Health to your flesh and strength to your bones. What will be? Those instructions He just gave us.
The word.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. All those things, doing all those things, will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Amen.
So we have to follow those instructions, don't we? Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Yes.
Well, what's the opposite of that? And lean not to your own understanding. Well, the opposite of that, if you don't do that, you're going to be filled with worry, aren't you?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Amen? All right. And then don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't think you can figure it all out yourself.
Oh, right.
No? Well, that fills your life with stress.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And we all know, I mean, the doctors tell us stress is detrimental to your body. Right? The wrong kind of stress. There's a good kind of stress that, you know, if you're just a couch potato, you don't partake of that. That's detrimental to you. But there's a good kind of stress. And I don't have time to get into that tonight. But there's a lot of stress is bad.
Right.
All right. And so some of it's good motivation, but most of it's bad
that
we want to avoid. Amen.
Right.
So fear the Lord, he says, and that doesn't mean be afraid of him, but means honor him, reverence him, respect him. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Why? That'll be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Amen. We could look at the next chapter, Proverbs 4, but we've already spent some time in that. Proverbs 4, where he talks about, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. We won't take time to go into that because we've covered that already. So let's go on ahead to Proverbs 12. And this is not all the scriptures, but I'll give us some tonight to look at. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, verse 18. Look at this one. There is one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The tongue of the wise promotes health. In other words, if you have wisdom, you're going to use your tongue, you're going to use your words to promote health in your body. You're going to speak health over yourself. You're not going to speak death and disease and sickness over your life. You're going to speak words that promote health.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. Look at this next one's interesting. Proverbs 13, verse 12. He says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. Well, if the heart's sick, it won't be long before the body's sick.
Right. That's right.
There's a connection there. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. Amen? In the Message Bible, it says it this way, for hope deferred, it says unrelenting disappointment. Unrelenting disappointment. It says unrelenting disappointment makes the heart sick. But when a desire comes or is fulfilled, that's a tree of life. Adam and Eve were... The original plan was for them to partake of the tree of life and live forever. Huh? Amen? Right? They were to partake. So the tree of life is, that's good for you. Amen? That brings healing and renewing and strengthening. Amen? And he says when desire comes, that's like a tree of life. But hope deferred or unrelenting disappointment makes your heart sick. Watch out for situations in your life where you're disappointed. Make sure that you deal with that correctly.
Yeah, that's right.
Make sure that you give that to God
and
that you don't allow that to crush you and you don't allow that to destroy you and break your spirit.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Because that will affect your health.
Oh, yeah.
I remember, this is years ago, none of you would... Except maybe David and Karen would know who I'm talking about, but there was a, and they may not even, just by what I'm going to say, but there was a lady in the church here, and her sister went through a divorce, and it really crushed this lady. It really crushed the lady that was in our church. It really hurt her that her sister went through a divorce. It was just devastating for her. She was so close to her sister and to the family, and she really let it affect her. And we observed that she got, just shortly after that, she came down with cancer. And she, you know, she fought valiantly, but she was never able to beat that cancer, and she ended up dying. This has been over 20 some years ago now that this happened. But we traced it back to, she really didn't get over what happened with her sister there. And she allowed that to crush her spirit and really disappoint her. And that was an unrelenting disappointment for her. So here's my question to us tonight. What is your hope and expectation in? Make sure it's in the right thing. Because if it's just in people, people are going to fail us,
right?
People are going to disappoint us. And so our expectation has to be in the Lord. It has to be in God. It has to be in His Word. Amen? It has to be there. And so don't, you know, we've all been through disappointments, right?
Yes.
We all have. But how we deal with that is so critical and so important. Make sure you deal with that the right way. Make sure you give that to God and make sure you run to His Word and that you know, okay, Lord, Your Word is true. I'm not going to carry this.
That's right.
I can't carry that. You didn't design me to carry this. I give it to You. You know, I don't know why this happened, but I give it to You, God, and deal with it. Deal with it the right way. Let God bring joy back into your heart.
Amen.
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 Lay it aside.
Right.
I know. You know. Dad Hagin talked again. I reference him so much, but I learned so much from him. He talked about when his sister died, and you know he'd prayed for her, and the Lord told him about that. He said, Now he said, don't you touch this anymore in your thought life. Don't touch it anymore. And in fact, he was called up to heaven and saw his sister. And she told him, she said, Ken, don't feel badly that you couldn't pray the prayer of faith for me. She said, there was a reason why.
Yeah.
And being as it's all over now, she said, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Amen.
He said, she looked so beautiful. He said, I never saw her look any more beautiful than when I saw her in heaven. And she's all healed and looked beautiful. And so she told him some other things that's not pertinent to what we're talking about right now. But the Lord told him too. He said, don't touch it in your thought life.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
And so he's telling him that for his own benefit,
yes,
for his own good.
Yes.
He said, you go on preaching faith and healing just like you're doing.
Yeah.
Don't you let it deter you. Don't you second guess what you're preaching. It's right, even though your sister failed to receive her healing. That's between me and you. Didn't you read in My Word? The Lord said, didn't you read in My Word? The secret things belong to the Lord.
That's right.
He said, that's a secret between me and her. And if I wanted you to know it, I'd told you. And I don't, so leave it alone. Don't touch it in thought life. Go on preaching faith and healing like you have been. And he did for many, many more years. Amen. Praise God. All right. Proverbs 14:30. Let's look at this one. A sound heart is life to the body. See there, what's in your heart will affect your body. A sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. I don't know about you. I do not want rotten bones. Well, let's a little more clear in the New Living Translation. Look at this. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. A peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. We don't want to yield to that, do we? Amen? But again, remember, it's not just a matter of praying and believing and laying on of hands and anointing with oil and those things. That's all scriptural and that's all right. We've got to do this stuff. I said, we've got to do this stuff. Amen? Especially... Now, again, here's another thing, especially as believers. Now, if you're brand new in the things of God and don't know anything, God doesn't hold you accountable and responsible. You know, a baby Christian, you know, it's easier for them to get healed than a seasoned Christian. Well, a seasoned Christian should know more, and so from that standpoint, they should have a better sense. They should know more about faith. So that's the positive side, but the negative side is they also know more that they're responsible to do. Amen.
Right.
And you know, don't you? You know, and just in the natural, I mean, we expect more out of a you know, out of a 10-year-old than you do a 2-year-old,
right.
Normally, right?
Yes.
In most cases, all right. But a peaceful heart leads to a healthy body. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. So don't let jealousy, don't let envy, don't let that in your life. Don't let that in your heart.
Amen.
Stay at peace.
Amen.
Amen. Let the peace of God in there and don't let anything disturb that peace.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Anybody comes in, any thought, any demon, any devil, any thought that comes in to try to disrupt that, say, oh, you're under arrest for disturbing the peace.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. Get out of here. Amen. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Let's look at this one. Proverbs 16, verse 24, again out of the New Living Translation. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. The Message Bible says if it's like honey, quick energy for the body. Well, honey is quick energy for your body. He said kind words are like that. Kind words are quick energy for your body. Kind words, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Speak kind words.
Amen.
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 Speak kind words over yourself and to others. Amen. That's healthy for your body. Y'all didn't know you were going to get this tonight, did you? Hallelujah. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart does good. You knew about this one. You were waiting to get to this one because y'all knew this one, didn't you? A merry heart does good like medicine.
Hallelujah.
But a broken spirit dries the bones. You know about the man several years ago. He was diagnosed with a terminal disease and the doctor said, there's really not a lot we can do for you. And so he decided to watch old comedy movies. He did it for several days or several weeks, I think it was, and was completely healed.
Oh. Yeah.
Just sat there and watched the Three Stooges and, you know, Laurel and Hardy and just laughed.
Yeah.
And just laughed. Well, he was acting, whether he knew it or not, he was operating in a Bible principle. A merry heart does good like medicine.
Yeah.
And again, it's an all-purpose medicine. No matter what you have, this will work for it.
Amen.
This will work for it.
Amen.
A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit, the other side of that, but a broken spirit dries the bones.
Yeah.
Again, that's talking about disappointment. That's talking about allowing your spirit, letting life get you down and break your spirit. And it's sad to see people like that or to be a person like that. You know, I've been like that before, haven't you?
Yeah.
Where you just let the problems and the pressures of life get you down and disappointments and break your spirit and you're just ready to give up.
Yep.
Well, that dries your bones. That affects you physically. Keep your joy.
Yes.
I said keep your joy. Amen.
Amen.
Don't let the devil take your joy.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
Praise God. Proverbs 18, verse 14. Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness.
Thank you, Lord.
The Amplified Bible there says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble.
Yes.
So we got to keep our spirit strong.
Yes.
We got to keep our spirit built up.
Amen.
Feed it on the Word of God.
Amen.
Exercise your spirit by praying in the Spirit, by worshiping God. Keep your spirit strong because a strong spirit will sustain you in sickness.
Amen.
But who can bear a broken spirit? See, that's why the devil tries to break down your spirit, because you have no line of defense then.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
All right. Now let's go into the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, Paul is giving instructions concerning communion. And not, you know, it's not instructions like this. It's not instructions, well, you should have a table sitting on the, if you're facing the platform, it should be on the left side. And you should have three serving containers filled with juice, and you should fill the cups up to 2/3 of the way full and break the pieces. That's not the kind of instructions that he gave for communion. But he's talking about the attitude and the way we partake of it and how we release our faith.
Hallelujah.
In order for it to be of maximum benefit to us.
Amen.
Because communion's not just a ritual.
No.
There's life in it.
Oh, yes.
There's life in it. Amen?
Amen.
Verse 27, so he says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, again, he's not. Again, people have misinterpreted that to say, well, you know, if you're not perfect, if you've ever committed a sin since you've been saved, then you're disqualified. You can't take communion. You'd be partaking in an unworthy manner. Well, we might as well not have it then.
Right.
No, nobody's qualified, right? No, the unworthy manner is the attitude. He's talking about doing it carelessly or saying, oh, well, it's communion again, or, oh, okay, communion, yeah, we'll go through the motions. No, that's an unworthy manner if you're just going through the motions. That's an unworthy manner if you say, oh, communion again. And so if you do that, he said, you're guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. This is a holy thing. This is a precious thing. Don't despise it. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. What does he mean, examine himself? Look at your life. Do you need forgiveness? Here you are.
Yeah.
Here's the cup. If you need forgiveness, receive it today.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Mm-hmm. If you've missed it, then receive it today.
Right.
Examine yourself. Do you need healing? It's right here.
Yeah.
You can partake of it today as you eat this bread.
Amen.
That's the body of the Lord broken for you. Receive the life of God today.
Amen.
Amen. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. We're going to explain what that means in a minute, but look at verse 30. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. So he tells us right here, the reason why there are some Christians that are weak and sick, and some sleep, he's talking about there, they've died prematurely. That's what he's talking about. And the reason they're weak and sick, now this is not, he didn't say this is the only reason and this is the reason everybody is, okay?
No.
We're not saying that, but he did say many.
Right.
Didn't he?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you. Why? He said, and many sleep, not discerning the Lord's body. Not discerning the Lord's body. Not partaking of communion in the proper manner, in the proper way. And not discerning the Lord's body. All right? What does it mean to discern the Lord's body? Well, there's two applications. The first one is this. I discern that His body was broken for me. That His body was given for me. That He took the stripes on His back. In other words, I look at what He did on the cross.
Yes.
And I look at what He did in redemption.
Yes.
And I value that. And I embrace that. And I believe that. That what I'm doing here is I partake of communion. I'm partaking of the benefits of redemption.
Yes.
I'm partaking of what Jesus did for me. He paid for my healing.
Yes.
He paid for my salvation. He paid that my sins could be washed away. He did that. His blood does that. His blood has redeemed me and ransomed me.
Yes.
And so that's discerning the Lord's body. If you don't recognize that, if you go, oh, well, it's just communion. Let's get this over with. Then you're missing out on an opportunity to receive healing, and you could be weak and sick because of that. That was your avenue to receive your healing right there, and you missed it. Right? Okay. Well, what's the other application? The other application is not discerning the body of Christ. Many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep, not discerning the Lord's body. What does that mean? It means that we, going back to our commandment, you know, keeping the commandment, that commandment is love. And so we got back to that now. Not discerning the Lord's body is not walking in love toward fellow members of the body. When we hold unforgiveness and bitterness and we're critical of and judgmental of and speak wrongly of other members of the body, when you're talking about that person, you're talking about Jesus.
That's right, yeah.
When you're refusing to forgive them, you're cutting yourself off from a part of the body. Amen?
Amen.
You're not discerning the Lord's body. I know when, again, another one more story from Dad Hagen. I think I told you about last week, I talked about how the healing revival came, you know, and he helped pray that in. And there was a great healing revival on, and there were ministers that had tents that would hold 20,000 people. And they got into a competition, actually. One of the ministers was so competitive that one guy had a tent that seated 20,000. Well, he had a nice tent already, but he said, I'm going to order a new one. I want one that seats 22,000 because I want a tent that's bigger than what he's got. So competitive in that. But he had an incredible healing ministry, marvelous miracles, marvelous healings, but very competitive. And he decided then after that he was going to build I think it was in Dallas, he was going to build a revival center. And he said, Dad Hagin went over to see him one day, and he was building. He said, look at this, Doc, look what I'm building here. And, you know, he said, well, where are you know, do you have a congregation? He said, oh, no. He said, I'm going to get them from so-and-so's church. I'm going to get them from their church. I'm going to get them from their church. And I'm going to get them from their church and their church. You know, he's just going to build the revival center and just expected all those people to leave their churches that they were plugged into and come to his revival center. Dad Hagin said, he didn't say anything to the guy, but he thought, that's not going to work. That's not right. And so a short time later, the Lord spoke to him and said, you go tell this man, go warn him and go tell him that if he doesn't judge himself in three areas, he's going to die. He's not going to live much longer. He needs to judge himself concerning the way he handles his money and the way he deals with money. Because some of the things he would do in his services, he'd have a healing. There'd be like deaf people that were healed or cripples that were healed. And immediately he'd say, all right, now we're going to receive an offering. Of course, people were all emotionally charged up from the healings they'd just seen. And I believe we've got this right, that this is the man that said, don't come down here unless you're going to bring $1,000. Well, this is back in the 40s. That's a lot of money. And then there's ran down there with their $1,000. Hundreds of people. And so he was unethical and manipulative, really, in the way he was raising money. And that was one area. The second area was his diet, in the way he ate, you know. And he said, you need to watch the way you eat. You know, you're going to take care of your body. And then the third area, was walking in love toward his fellow ministers. Go tell him that he needs to judge himself in those three areas, in his diet, in the way he handles his money, and in walking in love toward his fellow ministers. He said, I went to try to talk to him, but I saw he wasn't going to listen to me. He said, and so within two years, they were at the Voice of Healing. Every Thanksgiving, they would have all the ministers that were in the Voice of Healing organization, which was most of them, they would have a convention over Thanksgiving, around Thanksgiving time every year, and they were at the convention, and they got a call that this man was dying, was very sick, was in the hospital, and not expected to live, and they made an announcement. They said, please, let's have all the ministers come to the front. We're going to pray for Brother So-and-so. And Brother Hagin started down there, walked down there, and the Lord said, don't you go. He's going to die. I told you he was going to die. He didn't ever judge himself. He didn't do those things. Don't you go down there. He said, I turned around and went back to my seat. And he said, my wife was standing beside me, and she said, what happened to you? Like you've seen a ghost. You know, you're white as a sheet. And he said, I told her what the Lord said to me. He said, within just a few days, he had passed on. And of course, he went to heaven. You know, he's with the Lord. But he didn't judge himself, all right? Did God do that? Did God kill him? Does God do that? Well, let's keep reading here. And verse 30 says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, what? We would not be judged. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that great? Isn't that great news? That's why he said, this is what communion is about. When you get ready to take communion, pause and judge yourself. Yeah. If you have any unforgiveness, just let it go right there. Lord, forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who have trespassed against me. Judge yourself right there. Amen. If we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. Man, that's some of the greatest words you've ever heard.
Amen.
The Lord has allowed us to do self-judgment. If we judge ourselves, we'll not be judged. Whoa. Glory to God. I judge myself according to His Word. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I deal with this in my life. I judge myself right now. Right? And he said, if you'll do that, you'll not be judged. But when we are judged, that means we neglect to judge ourselves. When we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. Even in judgment, there's God's mercy because he doesn't want you going to hell.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
So let's look at, so did God do that? Did God kill that preacher? No, God didn't kill the preacher. And God's not going to kill you. And here's another thing. If you're sitting out there thinking, oh, Lord, you know, if this happened to this guy, what's going to happen to me? Well, he had a lot of responsibility on him. He had a lot of anointing. You start moving and operating in those areas, and to whom much is given, much is required. God doesn't require as much out of you. Now, that's no excuse for you not to, you know, walk before God correctly. But don't walk out of here thinking, oh, no, you know, I'm under judgment. No, you're not. Amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 3. We'll close up with this. Paul says, for I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged. There was a situation going on in the Corinthian church that he described in the previous verses of chapter 5. And he said, this is so bad. He said, the Gentiles aren't even involved in this kind of sin. Yeah. What it was, a man had taken away. There was a young man, and then he was living with his father, and evidently his mother had passed away, and his father had remarried, and his son said, I think I like her. I'm going to take her to be my wife, and took her away from his dad. This was his stepmother, and they were living together, and in sin, and boastful about it, not repentant of it, not apologetic about it at all, or not repentant, but just saying, oh, this is all right. We're under grace. Everything's fine. And Paul says, no, that's not, you need to deal with this. And so he says, it's not even, I hadn't even heard of any Gentiles doing anything this bad. That's what he said. And so he said, we got to judge this. Your church has to judge this. And they did. Verse 3, he said, I indeed, as absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, along with my spirit. That's interesting, isn't it? He said, my spirit's going to be there when you gather together.
Yeah.
With the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to who?
Satan.
To who?
Satan.
To Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Why'd they have to do that? Because God's not going to kill anybody.
Right.
But that man was afforded a level of protection by being in that church body. And they said, no, by judging him, what you're doing is you are withdrawing the protection that he really has no access or no right to.
Yeah.
And this really needs to happen to him for his good. Mm-hmm. All right. He says, turn him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Why? Because it's Satan that destroys the flesh, not God.
That's right.
It's Satan that has sickness and disease,
that's
not God.
Right. That's right.
So basically God's hand of protection was going to lift off of this man.
Yep, yep.
As they turned him over to Satan, mm-hmm. as they judged him. He says that, why does his flesh need to be destroyed? That his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's still mercy.
Still mercy.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't want the guy to go to hell. He's messed up. He's goofed up now. He's in sin.
Right.
So we need to judge him, and so we need to turn him over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh so that his spirit will be saved.
Yeah.
We don't want him going to hell.
Right.
If he keeps going the way he's going and doesn't get judged that way, then he'll eventually get so far away from God that he'll renounce God
right.
and end up in hell. Well, what happened? If you read over in 2 Corinthians, Paul says, forgive him now because the man repented. He said, forgive him and reaffirm your love. They brought him back in. His flesh started getting destroyed, and he said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
This isn't working so good. Amen? And he repented.
Yes.
And Paul said, forgive him now, lest Satan take advantage over you.
Oh, yeah.
2 Corinthians chapter 2.
Yeah.
He said, so now forgive him and restore him. And they did, and everybody lived happily ever after, I suppose. I don't know. But amen? God's not killing people, though.
Oh, amen.
Amen. But we've got to follow His instructions. Healing is more than a matter of just somebody anointing you with oil. That's all. Don't draw back from that. Don't hesitate from that. That's all right, and that's all scriptural, and we believe it. And we're going to do it. We're going. You know, instead of toning it down, as Dad Hagin said, we're going to tone it up. We're going to do that even more and more, right? But we see that there's this other side too. We've got to walk in love. We've got to judge ourselves. We've got to not let stuff, you know, break our spirit. All these things, right? Amen. Follow those instructions. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you. We praise you for your word tonight. Thank you, Lord. I just thank you for every person here and how they've, Lord, every person here has contributed to this message coming out tonight, Lord, because they had such a draw and they were so hungry to hear your word. And I'm grateful for that, Lord. I'm grateful for us to have been here tonight and for you to minister to us, Lord, the way you have. And we praise you for it, Lord. And we thank you. And we thank you that your words are life to us because we found them. Your words are health and healing to all our flesh. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Won't you just stand up and praise him right now? Just thank him for his healing word in your life right now. I almost think we ought to have communion right now. Be a good one. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for your healing word, for your healing power in our lives right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, you said if we judge ourselves, we'd not be judged. So right now we judge ourselves in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We choose to walk in love. Lord, we refuse to hold any resentment, any bitterness, any unforgiveness toward anyone. We release it now. We release it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your peace over our hearts. Lord, you said a heart at peace brings life to the body. A peaceful heart is a healthy body. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for every person here. I pray over every person under the sound of my voice now that their health will spring forth speedily in Jesus' name. Thank you for it, Lord. Yeah, thank you for it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Karen, you're breaking through to a whole new level of health. All those things that have plagued you, that have been bothering you, they're gone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You laid that aside. That's in the past.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
My Lord.
In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for it, Lord. Anybody else that needs that, just take it right now. Just take that as well. Hallelujah. Things that have been plaguing you physically, you just lay them aside right now. Just lay them aside right now in Jesus' name. Step on up into a whole new level of health. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I take that for myself, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you for it, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right.